CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. To Europe, the headline in Bloomberg Europe. Russia considers oil price floor in response to G7. This to do with the oil price cap established by the EU for seaborne Russian oil. A price must be paid or you will be sanctioned. However, the subheads are more compelling. Third Russian airfield hit by drone as Moscow accuses Ukraine. And Ukraine's latest, Russia blames Kyiv for strikes deep behind lines, referring to what appears to be drone attacks or some fashion of sabotage against the Russian airfields that are said to be launching the aircraft that carry the missiles that rain down upon the civilian population of Kyiv. This comes after several times mention in the media of the president of France reaching out with the word or possibility of negotiation with Moscow, with the president of the United States mentioning negotiation, saying the time is not ready, with the general secretary of China saying to Mr. Schultz and others, it's time to talk peace in Ukraine. Mary, what do you make of this simultaneous negotiation talk? Not yet, but they use the word negotiation. And the ability of Kyiv to strike into Russia.
Well, Kyiv has always had the ability to strike into Russia. It's just a fallacy to say that, you know, we somehow needed to alter the HIMAR system to prevent them from striking into Russia. That's ridiculous. You know, there are areas of fighting that are right at the border. You just, you know, shoot a tank and boom, you're striking into Russia. It's also perfectly legitimate for the Ukrainians to strike targets within Russia that are targeting them. And we shouldn't be downplaying that or discouraging it. We should be encouraging it because we should be wanting Ukraine to win and to win as quick as possible, because this isn't just about Ukraine, unfortunately. This isn't a conflict that is confined to that country. Just like Xi Jinping, Putin has made his intent very, very clear for decades, which is that he thought the fall of the Soviet Union was a disaster. Recall his 2007 speech to the Munich Security Conference. And he intends to reclaim Russian glory. It's a twisted version of Russian imperialism that the world has seen for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, as for the Ukrainians, you just can't believe the level of courage and tenacity in the face of what can only be termed horrific conditions in much of the country as Russia targets civilian infrastructure. So the idea that Emmanuel Macron wants to negotiate a peace with Putin at this point, there are many problems with that. Firstly, it's not his country that's being bombed. It's up to the Ukrainians to say if they want peace talks or not, and they emphatically do not until they have full victory. And secondly, I'll borrow a phrase here from the Russian chess grandmaster Garry Kasparov, one of the leaders of the pro-democracy movement, who said that any deal with Putin is an armistice, not a peace. I think that was such a profound observation by Garry and really important to always keep in mind, because Putin has no intention of respecting a quote unquote peace agreement. And you can see that in his behavior, in his multiple invasions of multiple sovereign nations since he came into power. So what does Putin understand? He understands power. He understands not rhetoric, but action. And so these next couple months are going to be critical. The Ukrainians are on the front foot. They require more weaponry in order to finish the fight. And hopefully the United States and Britain and other allies will provide that to them. And we will see a return to a stable, sovereign and whole Ukraine.
The unknown is the European Union. Sometimes NATO, sometimes European Union. There can be a match between them, but I'm going to concentrate on the EU because the weather has turned colder in Northern Europe. The natural gas storage is topped off. However, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the wind is not blowing adequate to maintain the renewables necessary to maintain the grid. We also know that one way of talking about shortages is price spikes, which are very high all across NATO and the EU, from the UK to Poland. And that means that the least among them, Mary, are supporting the conflict in Ukraine with their sacrifices, not able to pay for or afford the electricity that heats much of Europe. What is your measure of how long they can hold out? We have about a minute.
Well, part of it depends on political leadership in Europe, because Democrats, it doesn't matter what side you are in a democracy. Typically in democracies, if leaders stand up and they explain, you know, this is why we're doing X to achieve Y outcome, usually the citizens will give their elected representatives the leeway to do that. This kind of economic distress was not a foregone conclusion, and Europe doesn't have to just accept that their economies will remain depressed forever. They've put terrible policies into place. They need to change their policies. They need to embrace oil and gas and nuclear power while we wait for green energy, development of that technology to mature, because it can't supply the power that Europe needs right now, unfortunately.
Mary.
They need to open it up to investment.
Mary Kissel, the Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.